02.
I have decided to raise the current level of influenza pandemic alert from phase 4 to phase 5. Influenza pandemics must be taken seriously precisely because of their capacity to spread rapidly to every country in the world. On the positive side, the world is better prepared for an influenza pandemic than at any time in history. Preparedness measures undertaken because of the threat from H5N1 avian influenza were an investment, and we are now benefiting from this investment. For the first time in history, we can track the evolution of a pandemic in real time. I would like to thank countries.
Hi, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The voice you just heard is that of Margaret Chan. She's the Director General of the World Health Organization. We are at Alert 5 on their scale. One more, and it's a pandemic. I'll tell you what, across the nation, there are some schools that are closing in my neck of the woods. Here at the network, part of the network anyway, in Texas, there are schools that are closing all over the place with confirmed cases. We'll dive into the swine flu and just what you need to know to be prepared. But as you heard Chan say, she feels as though across the world, actually, people are pretty prepared for this if it becomes a pandemic. And we're going to talk to Dr. Manny Ramirez, terrific guy. He's the founding chairperson of the American Board of Disaster Medicine. Also, he serves the nation as the senior physician federal medical officer in the National Disaster Medical System. And he's the author of a great book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Disaster Preparedness. He knows all about this, and we're going to dive in it with him coming up around the bend. Also coming up later, 3-1 favorite at the Kentucky Derby. I'm all about the horses, baby. I want revenge. That's the favorite for the Kentucky Derby. We are thrilled to be joined in a couple of minutes by Joe Drake from Louisville. He, of course, is a incredible writer for the New York Times. Did a great piece today in the Times about the drug issue and thoroughbreds in this country. Can't wait for that. First, we start things off with Easy Ticket Mike as we are thick into the playoffs in the NBA and on the ice as well. Easy Ticket, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
Yes, avoiding that swine flu at all costs, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to eat too much. That way I won't be a real pig and develop swine flu.
We almost need a rim shot for that, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the NBA playoffs and how things are rolling. And first of all, you have tickets, right? So people could go to easy-ticket.com.
Yeah, I picked up some actually some Maverick tickets for their game coming up here. They've got a couple. They've gone into the second series. Looks like the only teams are going to be rested for the second series going to be the Cavaliers, Lakers, and Dallas, because they're all resting, sitting at home now, waiting for their opponents to come up.
Yeah, you know, and of all my years of covering hoop, I've talked to lots of different coaches about that. Some think it's good to have that time in between. Certainly, it's great to dish away your opponent, but then sometimes even with the two-a-days and the shoot-arounds and everything else, so some of the coaches' philosophy is you don't want to get too stale if you have too many days where you're out of the action, you know?
Well, they've got some, you know, look at that Miami-Atlanta series. They've got some people getting really beat up there. You know, it's maybe not as bad as hockey, but they're throwing some elbows in those games.
No kidding. And we're both still looking, of course, for the Lakers and Cleveland. I said that on Fox. I think that the Lakers and Cleveland end up facing each other in the end, and you believe the same thing. Now, we're into baseball, of course, and baseball we're starting to get into it now because we're past the whole novelty of, oh, it's the beginning of the season. Now we're seeing that the Yankees went on a terrible tailspin in the beginning of the year, and they're trying to turn it around. And then we're also seeing that Toronto, even in the note you sent me, that's exactly what I picked out, that, man, they are doing it to it big time, aren't they?
Yeah, they're right now they've won 15 games so far. They're right at the same level as the National League leader, St. Louis. And, you know, they're looking, but we still got a lot of games between now and October. So it's anybody's pennant race.
Yeah, no kidding. We had the great Raleigh Fingers on the show the other night. Of course, Hall of Fame pitcher, Mike, and of course, that's what he said, too. I asked him about the Dodgers, and he liked their starting staff and thought they had a great chance. And Joe Torre, of course, doing a good job. And then they have the slugger, Manny Ramirez. But certainly he knows as well as a guy that had to come out of the bullpen for so many years and did it so well that it definitely is a marathon, not a sprint. And speaking of not being a sprint, we're into it in the Stanley Cup, too, because now we're into the second round. I was so disappointed. My Flyers, boom, the Penguins, although I thought they were going to do that, they did it in six games. And the Capitals, how about what the Capitals did to the Rangers? Boy, yeah, they talked to a lot of disappointed Ranger fans. Yeah.
You know, it took seven games for them, but they, you know, they knocked out the Rangers. The one really series that surprised me was the Mighty Ducks and San Jose. I mean, San Jose, you know, they won the cup to the President's Cup. They were the number one seed in the whole NHL, and they got knocked out by the eighth seed. So, you know, I'm not looking for Anaheim to go very far in the next round. But what I'm looking at right now is I think it's going to be Boston and Detroit in the finals here in a month or so.
Yeah, and we'll remind everyone, go to easy-ticket.com. You also have concert tickets. We have about a minute left. We've been talking about this every single time you come on the air. Fleetwood Mac, of course, they're going to be in Dallas. This is a national show, but they have a national tour, so they've been in a lot of other places as well. Eric Clapton and Pink, though, they're going on tour, and I would think that those tickets would be hot sellers, huh?
Yeah, you know, she's going to be on tour here in the fall. But, yeah, I'm starting to get some tickets for her series. She's plus she's coming here to Dallas is Houston. She's going to be down in Houston, but she's going to be in some other cities. But like I said, Clapton, he's on tour with Stevie Winwood.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. That'd be a fun. I saw Clapton when I was like 14 in Philadelphia at a place called the Spectrum where the Flyers used to play. Of course, that's their old facility. Now a minor league hockey team plays there, but it was just great to see him when I was a kid, and it still holds up with Clapton. Mike, you take care now, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, you have a good evening.
You too. Easy-ticket.com. Go there. Mike gets some of the best tickets around, and the great thing is, and he talked about this last week, and of course a lot of people are starting to go this way, but you don't want to have that in-between thing where you decide, geez, now I have the money, or I'm going to go to a concert or whatever, and you have to go to will call. Ooh, I've been stuck there where I've been waiting behind a ton of people, and I get there by just the hair of my chinny chin chin. Ooh, it's brutal. Speaking of brutal, this swine flu is certainly brutal. And we've got some great suggestions on what you need to do. Doc Ramirez is coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
Dallas? I don't want you going to Dallas at all. That place is crawling with crackheads and debutantes, and half of them play for the Cowboys.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise, her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
Ooh, Betty Davis eyes. That'd be a good name for a horse, although probably most people would have to think back in their mind. Oh, yeah, Betty Davis, Betty Davis. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Really excited about our next guest. Last time I talked to him, we were on the air in New York City on WFAN, and here we are doing this national show now, and he's just a terrific writer for the New York Times, Joe Drape, and had a great article today on the drug issue in thoroughbreds. And I know on this show I've gotten a ton of reaction to that in the past when we've talked about it. Joe is joining us from Louisville, of course, where the Run for the Roses will take place, the 135th, the Kentucky Derby. Hey, Joe, thanks for popping on the show.
Kate, it's great talking with you as always, and it's been too long.
I know it has been. And would you imagine that Facebook, of all things, would have reconnected us?
I know. Is that, you know, I see things from friends of mine's children saying, you old people need to get off Facebook. But it's kind of fun, isn't it?
I think it's kind of fun. Absolutely. I found so many people, and you were one of them. So I was thrilled when I saw you on Facebook. Hey, I really mean it, buddy. Your article was great. It's so funny. A buddy of mine sent me a copy of your article. I had already read it, and then you sent me a copy. I thought, wow, this is the third time that now I've woken up and I've read Joe's article because everybody thought it was so good. And you hit the, I think you hit the head on the nail when you talked about the owners and not really wanting to disclose their vet records. They, you know, what is the deal? How do we crack down on this? I mean, first of all, tell everybody how many owners or trainers out of the 20 horses that are in the Kentucky Derby were willing to tell you or willing to show you their veterinarian records for what the horses were taking.
Well, Kate, basically, it's important because on the wake of Eight Bells and Barbaro, and you and I are lovers of this game, and some bad things have happened, and it has a negative tarnish on it. So I went and asked all 20 owners, let me see your vet records and make your vet available to me. I'm not the judge of it. You know, I'm going to get a panel together, and we're going to look at this, and I just want the legal medications. If you're cheating, I'm not even asking for that. And only three came up with it. And you know, the most impressive one that came up with it is Rick Porter, who owned 8 Bells, and who did Larry Jones, and Larry Jones trained him. Rick Porter owned him. They had the necropsy done within hours of her death, and it showed no pre-existing condition, no drugs in her system. And, you know, he showed me, he did not only gave me Freezing Fire, who, by the way, is my pick to win the Kentucky Derby, and he was my pick before I even saw the records.
Yeah.
He gave me all his horses' records and showed me, you know, these are sound horses, and a sound horse only takes a little bit of maintenance. So that's what it was. And I guess transparency is what I was after. And, you know, frankly, I was disappointed, as all horse lovers should be, that only 3 owners out of 17 others, 20 others, wouldn't show me what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I was shocked, too. You had this fact in your article that I knew it was bad, but the U.S. hands down has the worst mortality rate for thoroughbreds. Are you kidding me, Joe?
Like about 3.5 times more. I mean, in Hong Kong, in Australia, in Britain, in France, they're not even close. And, you know, part of it is medications. Part of it's drugs. Part of it is they don't do it all year round. I mean, I know you're based in Dallas, Texas right now, and Dallas has some things going on. They race pretty much, what, 60 days a year, 80 days a year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in New York, they race all round, all year round, in aqueduct, in the dead of winter, in snow, in rain. They've got horses running around out there. You know, it really is to the point where, and don't get me wrong, Kate, this is the greatest sport. It's America's oldest sport. It's the only one you can trace back to the White House. Andrew Jackson ran a stable out of the White House when he was president. It predates baseball. It predates everything else. It's a mono, my horse is faster than your horse. But, you know, when people tune in the spring, and, you know, they're the casual fans. They're the ones that aren't watching it year-round. They want to see beauty, and they want to see, you know, wonder. And when you see horses breaking down and not getting around that track, and then you see owners and trainers. Last year we had the big brown folks, and, you know, he brashly said, I'm giving them steroids. And, you know, that's where a higher command needs to be answered.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hope something's done. I mean, you even did a reader's poll. I thought it was so interesting. It was a great open-ended question. Should owners and trainers, as you said, be more transparent, be required to disclose what drugs they give their horses? I mean, come on, serve it up. This is a great sport. It's a sport I grew up with. Obviously, it's one you have the passion for. You cover it so well and have such a great gig in doing that. You can tell and you can see it in your work. And I'm a lover of the sport from the time I was a kid. I had, you know, a great uncle who was a jockey, and it just saddens me to hear things like that. I hope that, I hope that changes, Joe.
No, I do, too, and I think it's at a tipping point right now that where people really need to get seriously within the game, because I know you're a great lover. For your listeners out there, we were at Lone Star Park when it was a No Place Nowhere first season, and I'd see you out there, and, you know, these were far from Derby horses. But it'd be a beautiful night. We'd be out there watching horses. And I have a passion for it. My dad taught me the game, reading the racing form in Kansas City, Missouri, for the three time a year trips to Axtra Bend in Omaha or Hot Springs in Arkansas. And it really is a sport that's passed down generation to generation. And to see it become such a hot-button issue, and I know you listen to folks all night long. Part of it is the way our view of the public's view of animals has evolved. I mean, frankly, Kate, I covered Charismatic in 1999. He breaks down in the stretch of the Belmont Stakes, you know, maybe 100 yards from a Triple Crown, and that didn't get anybody upset at all. I mean, I wrote a sidebar on him that night. I got up the next morning and followed him. He was fine. But, you know, life has changed a lot. There's a reason books like Marley and Me are on the bestseller for 2 years. I mean, people have gotten much more evolved in their thinking about animals and treating you know, I guess God's, to sound sappy, to treating God's creatures correctly.
Yeah, boy, I agree with that. Hey, let's jump into the Derby. We have a couple minutes left. Frisian Fire, why is that your horse? You don't like I Want Revenge, the 3-1 odds favorite coming from the 13th post position?
No, Kate, throw that horse out. I'm based on the East Course. He was the fifth best horse in California. He came to New York to win a few races. He beat absolutely nothing there. Westside Bernie in Atomic Rain was a late entry into the Derby. That's who he beat in New York. Those guys haven't won since June and September of last year. So, no, I don't like him. Freezing Fire's won three in a row. He's beaten all comers on wet tracks, on fast tracks. And, you know, I did see the vet records. He's a sound horse. They've done nothing to that horse except rub him down. You know, Larry Jones is a big chiropractic guy. This is a sound, fast horse. I don't like him. You know, Pioneer of the Nile, California's synthetic surfaces, never run on dirt before. That's his big question. Dunkirk's a fine, brilliant horse, but he's only raced times. He's trying to do what no horse has done since 1882 with Apollo, win without racing as a two-year-old. I mean, this is kind of a very intriguing Derby because a lot of them have knocks here and there. So I'm going with my man Larry Jones, and I do believe in karmic justice. I mean, he came in second with Hard Spun against Street Sense. Eight Bells, he came in second again, and that was nobody's fault. That was an act of God. I think this is his turn. He's due.
All right, my money's on you. Joe Drape, thanks. We know it's late, and we appreciate your time, buddy.
Kate, thanks for having me. Good luck to you.
All right, good luck to you, too, with your pick there. We'll be watching that race to see how you do. Joe Drape, New York Times, just a thrill to have him on the show. And, man, the Derby, I love the Derby because it's Joe's right. It starts you off. It gets you set. And then there's this building of will we have a Triple Crown winner? Could this be the year? That kind of stuff. And so I know that I will be at the track making a little wager. And my horse is Joe's horse. And you just heard what he had to say about I Want Revenge, who the horse basically raced nobody with the 3-1 odds. So maybe some people will plunk their money down there, but I wouldn't count on it. He's pretty good at picking those horses, too. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dr. Manny Ramirez, as promised, about the swine flu. Hang with us, everybody.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun. So go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator, producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Talking about the swine flu, of course, here on America Tonight. And sadly, a 23-month-old died as a result of the swine flu in Houston. That's the latest. Kate Delaney hanging with you, of course, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Happy to be joined by Dr. Maurice Ramirez, who is going to hopefully help us with some of the questions we have on swine flu. Dr. Ramirez has quite a resume. He's been an expert on panels for pandemic preparedness with congressional and cabinet members. He's also a founding chairperson of the American Board of Disaster Medicine and serves the nation as a senior physician federal medical officer in the National Disaster Medical System. Boy, that's a mouthful. And here's the key thing. We can all read the latest book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Disaster Preparedness. Boy, that's a great place to start. Dr. Ramirez, thanks for coming on. And you know, given the title of your book, are we handling this as a nation correctly so far?
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me. And yes, actually, I think that we are. We have an advantage this time around, and you have to understand that whether this is the pandemic or this is just an epidemic episode of swine flu, this is the first time that we have the advantage of very early detection. We know before we had thousands of cases that there was a problem, that we had a new version of an old virus, which is good because that makes it less likely to become pandemic and less likely to be highly fatal. And while it's unfortunate that a 23-month-old child died, we aren't seeing 2 to 3%, 2 and 3 out of 100 people with this disease dying. And hopefully we won't. It's still a little early to tell, a couple of weeks, but hopefully we won't. We're handling it well. We've activated the public plan. We said this is a public health emergency. We're going to put all hands on deck. We're going to have everybody watching for it. We're going to screen everybody who might have it. And we're going to find out just how big the problem is, or even better, just how big the problem is not.
You know, in talking about screening people, in some other countries, they're actually screening people who are coming back from Mexico. I guess they have some kind of infrared system if somebody's sick. Do you think they should do more as far as airline travel? Because I would assume that that's a way where if you come in contact with someone, there is a chance you could get it, right?
Well, it's very interesting when we look at the idea of travel. And, of course, that immediately brings the ideas of quarantine and something called social distancing, which is what the Canadians did to stop SARS. And when we look at that quarantine, there is actually a magic number after which quarantine doesn't work. And that number is 32 people. So if you have more than 32 cases of something in a local area, you can't quarantine it effectively anymore. And, in fact, if you look at the whole history of quarantine going back to Venice in the Middle Ages, which is where quarantine came from, it has never worked with the exception of social distancing in Canada. So unless it's been less than that magic number, 32 or so people. Well, we found out about this well after it was 32 people. So quarantine's not going to work. The whole idea of an epidemic or a pandemic is that there are large swaths of the planet or the whole planet that are affected by the disease. So when you start with travel restrictions, you have to look at more than just are people going and coming from a place where the disease exists. Certainly, you want to decrease the spread, but you don't want to do two bad things. One, cause economic harm to a place that's already straining to deal with a healthcare crisis, and restricting their travel causes an economic harm. The other thing is you don't want to create a disincentive to report. The Chinese had a disincentive to report for SARS. The local Chinese officials didn't want to get in trouble with Beijing. Beijing didn't want to lose face with the rest of the world. So for weeks, they did not tell the rest of the world that they had a problem that would later be known as SARS. In that period of time, that problem spread to Canada and other places, specifically because they didn't tell anybody that there was a problem. So you have to not, you have to have a metered approach. What Benjamin Franklin always said, nothing to excess, all things in moderation. Right now, Canada, last night, just before midnight, Canada, or several Canadian airlines, suspended all travel, all flights to Mexico City. That creates a significant economic problem for Canada and Mexico. The EU said, recommended against travel to New York, to Mexico City, to Mexico as a country, and to the United States as a whole. We don't have any cases here in Florida as yet. Knock wood, we won't have any. A lot of British tourists like to come to my area, Orlando, visit the mouse. What kind of an economic impact does that have if the EU is saying don't come? What happens when, now that Germany and Austria are reporting cases, other countries in Europe start saying, nope, don't go there either? And these are the kinds of considerations that have to be there, because while it's important to protect people, absolutely, we're in an economic recession worldwide, and there's not yet been proven that, one, it's going to help, and two, that it's even a problem that can, that is going to be significantly spread by travel.
Yeah, we've been talking about that with the EU. We were surprised how that broke so quickly. I had a lot of callers who were fuming and thought it was outrageous that actually they said exactly what you said. Well, how can you do that? And then you think of the economic repercussions, particularly where we're at with this whole thing with the swine flu. You know, you bring up New York, and New York has so many cases, and Mayor Bloomberg even said the other day that, you look, there could be hundreds of cases due to this one school, St. Francis, where the kids came back from Cancun and then other kids who didn't go came up with it. What do you think they should do as far as schools are concerned? Just flat out close them until this whole thing passes over?
Well, when I counsel large corporations on pandemic, on not spreading disease, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's influenza, whether it's even other diseases that may affect their corporate presence internationally or just nationally, I remind them that they learned everything they really needed to learn about preventing disease spread in kindergarten. And if you think about it, you did. Grandma also taught it to you. Wash your hands. Wash them often. Last year, a big report hit all the news. 78% of men and 42% of women don't wash their hands as they leave the restroom or after sneezing into their hands. I bet you that number's a lot lower this week because people are scared now. People have gotten that message. Yeah, don't share utensils. Don't double dip the chip in the salsa. Don't take a bite of something and hand it to somebody else to take a bite of. Don't share a cigarette back and forth. Shouldn't smoke anyway, but don't share a cigarette back and forth. Don't share a drink or a straw. These are things we learned in kindergarten. Stay in your seat. Respect other people's space. Yeah, how often have you walked into a business and somebody else is staring over the shoulder right on top of breathing down on somebody when it's totally inappropriate, it's totally unnecessary? And these are the kinds of things that will cause problems, that will spread the disease more rapidly. And these are the things that your listeners can do to decrease their own likelihood, maintain that 6-foot distance when possible, sneeze into their elbow and observe that kind of cough and sneeze etiquette. Stay out of the fallout cloud of other people's coughs and sneezes, which is a 6-foot space around them. Wash their hands frequently. And if they're doing these things, they will actually do more to decrease their likelihood of catching the disease, of spreading the disease to others, than travel restrictions or even wearing masks.
Yeah, speaking of wearing masks, so many people have decided that they need to get the masks that I checked a whole bunch of pharmacies in some of the areas that were hit, including my own area in Dallas, where there were some confirmed cases just down the street from where I live. And there's a run on masks. But do the surgical masks even really work? Do they protect you, Doc?
Well, a standard surgical mask is useless. An N95 mask, which is a much higher grade of filtration, is useful within limits. And those limits are dependent on whether the mask is used correctly. And it's very strict how a mask is used correctly. First of all, you can't have any facial hair. So the gentleman with the beards and the mustaches, no matter how well trimmed, they got to go. So that's issue one. The second is that a mask is only good for 4 hours. An N95 mask is good for 4 hours. After that, it must be discarded. So you're not talking about one mask in a day. You're talking about six in a day. The mask has to be worn anytime you're within 6 feet of the living space of an infected or potentially infected person. Not 6 feet of the person, 6 feet of their space. Well, if you live with them, that's 6 feet of your own front door. That's a mask 24/7. The mask has to be changed anytime it gets wet, which includes your own perspiration or the vapor from your own breathing. So the average person, if you're going to wear a mask properly, you're talking about 50 masks a week, 200 masks a month, which is a case of masks. And you're looking at wearing them for about 12 weeks. So you're talking about 12 cases of masks. Now, that's a great economic stimulus program at the cost of masks. They're about $10 a piece.
Wow.
And you're talking about $2,000 worth of masks for 3 months,
right.
4 months, excuse me.
Right.
So it's a great economic stimulus plan for the healthcare community, but most of our masks are made overseas, and they want them. What's the likelihood they're going to send them to us if we're looking to pick up 200 cases times 300 million people in the country?
Yeah, not very likely.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. First of all, there aren't that many masks on the planet, but it isn't going to happen.
Yeah. So forget the mask thing. That would be key.
Within reason. I mean, again, all things in moderation, nothing to excess. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it right, and you have to accept that you may not get total protection if you can't do it completely. And certainly if you're working with somebody who's sick, send them home. Yeah, and if you are sick yourself, don't go into work or to school. This is a personal travel restriction that you can do on your own. And don't be selfish.
Yeah.
If you're sick, stay home. And employers, don't be foolish. If you have a sick employee who's telling you, I'm sick, I might have the flu, don't make them come into work. Don't threaten their job. Because if they have the flu and they give it to half your staff, now you have a huge problem, and you have a huge public relations problem because your customers aren't going to want to come either.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Hey, last one, Doc. What do you think? You think that we're going to kill this thing, or it's going to become a pandemic?
We're a little too early to tell. Viruses have what's called an amplification period, where I don't have symptoms yet because I'm still in my incubation period, but I'm infectious, and I spread it to a few hundred people. And if during that amplification period, I spread it, and that's where we are right now. We don't know. You know, there's 66 cases in that state. Well, we haven't had a full incubation period. If all of those 66 spread it to a couple of hundred each, next Monday we could be talking about several thousand cases in the United States. Now we're getting into some trouble. If the next incubation period passes and it goes up another 100-fold, and now we're talking about 10,000 cases in the United States, now we're banging on the door of pandemic. Pandemic is when it occurs on all the populated continents of the world more or less simultaneously. We're one step away from that, and the World Health Organization is the only one who can declare a pandemic. We're at pandemic stage 4, which is not really a pandemic. When they say 5, that's it, and it means that now we have a significant disease presence everywhere.
All right. Well, we'll look for that. Hopefully we won't hit that number. That would be the best case scenario, I think. Dr. Maurice Ramirez, terrific information. Thanks so much. And, of course, pick up his latest book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Disaster Preparedness. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you again sometime here on America Tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate. You have a great evening.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley. I don't have to tell you there's an emergency in the Heartland, but my friends at Heartland Emergency can help. With collapsing banks, endless bailouts, unresponsive government, and a teetering economy, it's only a matter of time before the next crisis strikes closer to home, your home. The food supply hangs by a thread, and store shelves can quickly empty as these next months introduce the full impact of a world in chaos. HeartlandEmergency.com can help you prepare with Mountain House freeze-dried food. Developed for NASA using real meat, these made-in-America nutritious meals are equal to anything frozen, and with a 30-year shelf life, you will be comfortably prepared. Visit HeartlandEmergency.com or call 830-431-1776. Storable food is the most important insurance you can have. Peace of mind knowing your family is not vulnerable has no price. Visit HeartlandEmergency.com or call 830-431-1776. Food solutions for our time? You cannot afford a surprise in the next crisis.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Choose for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
Just so everybody knows, we're at phase five alert. We started the hour with the World Health Organization Director General Margaret Chan, who said that it's a phase five baby, and that basically means there is a sustained transmission among people in at least two countries for the swine flu. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up, we have birthdays this day in history and, of course, news you can abuse. Mexico, by the way, shutting down government offices in the flu fight. In the U.S., 100 confirmed cases, but we believe there are many others, especially in New York, where the kids, as I mentioned to Doc Ramirez at St. Francis, it just spread like wildfire. I know in Texas they've shut down an entire school district, and there's schools here and there that are shutting down as well. Let's go to John, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, John.
It's Sam.
Oh, Sam. He told me, unfortunately, John, but that's okay. We'll take you as Sam. Have an alias.
Oh, aren't you a sweetheart? Okay, here's my prediction. Pittsburgh in seven. Okay, the two series I will be following, up here in Canada, hockey playoffs are very important, you know. I see Pittsburgh in seven over Ovechkin to show off. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't wish anything bad to happen to him, but I just want someone to clobber him. That's how much I hate him.
You know, let's just get down to the whole thing. What's the, ultimately, who do you think, for people who know, when Sam calls us, we talk some hockey, and obviously we're in the chase for the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Do you think, who do you think wins the whole thing?
Oh, boy. It's going to be between Boston and Detroit. And
I think so, too.
And there it's, I will give just a little bit to Detroit. I think if it is a Boston-Detroit series, it'll go seven games. And I go for Detroit.
Yeah, no, boy, I hope it goes seven games. Seven games is great. I love those kind of series.
Oh, yeah, and the series we're going to be watching here also is the Vancouver-Chicago series, because the last time those two teams played each other, it wasn't, let's just say it made a Friday night in the worst part of New York look like a tea party. The teams don't like each other.
Boy, that's true. No kidding.
It
makes it a lot of fun. Hey, what's everybody saying across the border about the swine flu now?
They are worried here in they are worried. I mean, the Minister of Health, is worried because also here we get a lot of migrant workers from Mexico who come up here to work the farms, and a lot of farmers are getting nervous, because without them the food doesn't get picked, and a lot of travel agents are offering people without charge. Do you want to change your destination, or do you want to cancel and get a full refund? And like I said, Julie's food store chain, as of right now, is not taking anything from Mexico until further notice. One of the decent things that Stephen Harper has ever done, unless you absolutely have to, don't go to Mexico.
Right.
We are concerned. I mean, like, there are people, Mexicans who are immigrants here who are worried about family there, because they've been talked to, on the news here, and they are worried. And like I said, Julie's worried. I'm worried to a point. I mean, we have a couple where I work. There are a couple of people who are from Mexico. And like I said, the region where they're from, it hasn't affected them, but they do have relatives, cousins, aunts, and uncles, whatever, who live in the region where it happened. So they are, semi-concerned.
Concerned. Yeah, I can see why they would be concerned. It's interesting. I'm glad you gave us that tidbit. Thanks, Sam, on Harper. That was good information, because to go in that direction is tough. And, with what's happening between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, everybody wants to do that friendly thing. So it's curious that he said that. I'm sure he waited till the last moment to do that. Time for news that you can abuse. We start in Los Angeles. A couple of quick ones for you. Comedy writer Andrea Wachner hated the idea of going to her 10-year high school reunion. Boy, 10 years, that's nothing. So she hired a stripper to go instead. Her story is now a 40-minute documentary that she directed. Wonder how those people feel about that, being duped by her. Interesting. It'd be interesting to see how it came out. She graduated in 1995 from Palos Verdes Peninsula High School. It was an upscale area in L.A., and I guess never looked back. Went to New York City, went to NYU, and when she got the 10-year reunion invite, she decided she hated her years at that school, because everybody was about their BMWs and the Mercedes-Benz, so she thought she'd be funny and send a stripper, and then decided to turn it into a little documentary. I'd be curious to see how that turned out. Here's another good one for you from Lincoln, Nebraska. A judge rejected a request from a prison inmate who, for religious reasons, was trying to change his name to, check this out, Sinner Lawrence Bilskinner. I'm serious. He cited his Norse religion in seeking his new name, saying he is a heathen and Thor is his high god. But Lancaster County Judge Steve Burns was having none of it. He said, simply because a person is a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim, I will not let them change their name. Good for him. He was just trying to get some headlines, I think, or cause a stir. How about that? This day in history, April 30th, wow, April 30th, almost into May. 245 days left in the year. 150 years ago, that would be 1859, the Charles Dickens novel A Tale of Two Cities was first published in serial form. It was in the premier issue of All the Year Around, which, by the way, was a literary magazine owned by Dickens himself. Well, that's clever, huh? 1789, George Washington took office in New York. He was the first president, of course, of the United States. In 1812, Louisiana became the 18th state of the Union. In 1909, Juliana, Queen of the Netherlands from 1948 to 1980, was born in The Hague. In 1939, the New York World's Fair officially swung open with a huge ceremony that included a special address by President FDR. Here's another one for you. In 1948, the Charter of the Organization of American States signed in Bogota, Colombia. A lot of good that did, huh? 1970, President Richard M. Nixon announced the U.S. was sending troops into Cambodia, an action that sparked widespread protests, big time protests. If we go back 5 years ago on ABC's Nightline, because they were still doing Nightline, Ted Koppel read aloud the names of 721 U.S. servicemen and women killed in the Iraq War. Also, Michael Jackson pled not guilty in Santa Maria, California, to a grand jury indictment that expanded the child molestation case against him. 1 year ago, an avalanche in Italy's northwestern Alps killed 5 French ski mountaineers. That was sad. You know, you think of an avalanche, and that's, man, there's just, how do you get away from an avalanche? If you get into a pocket where there's some air, you have a chance, but very tough, and this was a bad avalanche. I remember seeing pictures of it. Time to head to some birthdays, and we got some good ones for you. Yeah, she was Dancing with the Stars at one point. Cloris Leachman, 83 years old. The singer Willie Nelson, we're seeing him in concert. He's a legend, 76 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, actress Jill Clayburgh is 65. Country musician Robert Reynolds from the Mavericks is 47. R&B singer Chris Chalk Dalrymple from Soul for Reason is 38. Also celebrating a birthday, R&B singer Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees is 36 years old. I don't want to get it wrong, because that's just when somebody will be listening to you, right? Kirsten Dunst, remember from Superman and the former love interest of Jake Gyllenhaal, turns 27 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, we just talked to Sam in Montreal. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper turns 50 years old. From Three Doors Down, rock musician Chris Henderson turns 38. That's a big birthday because you're still not quite 40. You're just there on the cusp to have a couple good years left before you turn another big page on the calendar. Rapper Lloyd Banks is 27 years old. Also celebrating a birthday on the other end of the scope. Well, he's in a lot of Lifetime movies, and he was a one of those character actors, I guess I would say. Actor Perry King is 61 years old. Also singer Merrill Osmond, 56. The Osmonds, there's so many of them. But he was kind of a front man. He was out there a lot. You see him when you go to their concerts. Movie director Jane Campion, rather, is 55 years old. Remember the piano? That's it for birthdays. We're going to leave you with this thought. Upper classes are a nation's past. The middle class is its future. Oh, Ayn Rand, if only that were true.
We must plan for tomorrow night.
What? What are we going to do tomorrow night?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.